This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So, with all of the talk in the last, what's it been now because of the holiday, couple of weeks since Ford has brought out the new F-150 electric, the Lightning, they're calling it, Lightning truck, it's caused a lot of people to have a lot of comments and commentary. And one guy in particular named Aaron Solomon, he is from Esquire Digital. I liked his take, and I said to my producer, I said, try and get that guy on the show. And here he is. Aaron, how you doing?
The guy is here. I'm very happy to be here, Alan. Thanks so much for having me.
Aaron is the head of the digital strategy part of Esquire Digital, and an adjunct professor and all these other things, which is amazing. His work has been featured in TechCrunch, Fortune, Yahoo, Law.com, Boston Globe, The Hill, and many other popular publications, and now on this radio show. So let us talk, first of all, about this electric F-150. I personally think the way that Ford Motor Company went about this is brilliant. They didn't have to, like, completely start over. They took their newest model truck and they just adapted it to make it work electrically. So that really puts a kink in Elon Musk's Cybertruck, don't you think, Aaron?
So, yeah, it does. And this is what this drives home to me. For decades, people have doubted the legacy car manufacturer's desire and ability to innovate. Don't sleep on Ford. What Ford did, as you just said, was extremely innovative. Now, it's also interesting to me that the day that Ford announced the 150, of course, what trends is Cybertruck, but that's good for Ford because the trending wasn't all positive.
So a friend of mine, matter of fact, he sends me this thing going, all Cybertrucks are going to be that brushed aluminum. So I'm going to make a wrap that you can put on yourself. And I go, wait a minute, you're assuming that thing that Elon Musk showed us, that wedge, is going to be the Cybertruck. I don't think that's what it's going to look like at all. I think that he's going to have to come to the table and he's going to have to build a real looking truck, not this crazy looking thing that, you know, you'd see on planet Zoltar, if you know what I'm saying. And so my friend, he's like, well, it doesn't matter. He goes, we'll just cut the pattern differently. But everybody's, you know, gearing up for this, the aftermarket too, this Cybertruck that doesn't even exist yet. So Ford Motor Company, they come out with the F-150. They even use a name that they used to use, which is Lightning. It used to be their fast truck. Well, not much faster than electricity, if you know what I'm saying. So Ford Motor Company, I think they are brilliant. Like you said, I feel like I want to go buy stock in Ford because, you know, even though I'm not a big fan of the Mustang Mach-E, I think it's ugly. But, you know, maybe after Shelby gets a hold of it or some of these tuners and aftermarket guys and create a monster out of it the way that I know they will, I'll grow to love it a little bit. But I still feel like it's so early for Ford Motor Company to judge them. But I am now going to say, all right, I'm going to judge them. Good job, Ford Motor Company, on that Ford F-150 Lightning. But so Elon Musk, now let's talk about him for a second. What do you think his response was when they showed that? He probably went, oh, shit. Now, I know they just bleeped that out, but I had to say it.
So a couple things. First of all, I'm going to join you in giving kudos to Ford. They did a fantastic job all around. I think that Elon Musk's response was exactly what we expect it would be, which was, you know what? I got a lot of other problems to deal with at the moment. That's right. Really what I think that Musk is thinking. You know, now, he's done some fantastic things. There's no doubt about it. It's also, you know, not that difficult to start a company when you've got almost a couple $100 million of your own cash. But right. Let's give him credit. He did a very, very good job. But the reality is, from the time that he had his press conference, where it was a special press conference where he showed that the windows of the Cybertruck could take a bullet, right. It's been now around 570 days since that press conference. and not one Cybertruck has been built.
Right.
We know that Ford is going to be building trucks a lot faster than that. So, yeah, I think Elon Musk is probably a little bit worried.
Yeah, no question. All right, hang tight. I want to talk more about this whole, you know, Cybertruck and the Ford F-150 Lightning, electric cars in general. Aaron Solomon, he is the head of digital strategy for Esquire Digital and EsquireDigital.com on the web. We're going to take a little break and be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. Think I need a devil to help
me get things right. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search. Well, as we get farther and farther into these electric cars, everybody is building one. There's new companies sprouting up like weeds. I think so many of us didn't think Tesla was going to make it in the beginning, but he's still here. And, you know, he's hasn't delivered that truck, the Cybertruck, yet in Ford Motor Company. Now, can he ever catch up? Aaron Solomon is joining us, head of digital strategy for Esquire Digital. And Aaron, so you wrote a story about this right after Ford Motor Company released their new electric truck, which, oh, by the way, can charge your house or power your house for like 3 days if the power goes out. All these brilliant things that Ford Motor Company kind of weaved into this truck that they did, and it already exists. There's a truck out there called an F-150, and all they did was adapt the platform of the truck to make an electric truck, and now it's got a trunk because there's no engine under the hood. But anyway, talk about your first initial reaction and your story that caught my eye.
So I wrote this story about the electric trucks, electric trucks, plural.
Right.
And as you can expect, so, you know, the people, I have a great name for the people who are real kind of like acolytes of Elon Musk, who just love every single thing he does. I like to call them muskrats.
That's a good one.
The muskrats weren't super happy about my piece. Not that my piece was hypercritical of Tesla and of Elon Musk. I just think it's really important when it comes to Tesla and when it comes to any new products. We can even talk about, you know, this new Volvo Polestar that's going to come out.
Right.
In separating illusion versus reality. And that was really the theme of my piece. And I'm also someone who, believe me, I don't come from the electric car corner. I'm kind of creeped out by electric cars. I really think they seem like oversized golf carts.
Right.
So it's not like you're talking to someone who thinks that we're all going to be driving electric cars in a couple of days. Given my druthers, I'm sitting in like a 20-year-old Mercedes with a diesel engine. That's where I come from.
Okay. See, that's where I came from, too. My dad was like a diesel fanatic. And so I bought a Jeep Wrangler with a gas engine because I can soup it up, put a supercharger on, all this stuff. My sister says, I want one, but I'm getting a diesel. And she says it with pride, okay? Now, Jeep also makes an electric Wrangler. Did she want one of those? Nope. And I think, you know, these electric cars, they do. They either creep you out or you're unsure or you love them. But the unsure, there's a lot of unsure people and they're just kind of sitting back watching. But they still creep me out a little bit too. I like to hear a car. I like to hear the engine. You know, that's the music. I don't even like to turn the radio on until after I'm fully, like, full of all my engine noises, if you know what I'm saying. Going through the gears and maybe chirping the wheels and making things happen a little bit for a few minutes. Then I'll go, all right, what's on the radio? But all the other sounds are what I need. My son-in-law, by the way, just got a Pacifica hybrid. And
yep.
When you put it in reverse, it makes this strange alien noise. It's like, what? There's a flying saucer landing. No, he's backing up because otherwise it would be dead silent. And that's when you get run over by accident. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they still creep me out a little bit, too.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
I was living in Berlin for 4 years and I was driving a big old Mercedes wagon diesel. And when you turn that car on, you hear that engine, you know you're in a car. You're not running anybody over right. when you're backing up because they can hear the purr of that engine.
Yeah.
And, of course, it only gets better when it's 10 years old, 15 years old, and 20 years old. So for people like me, you know, I guess who are admitted fossils, there's getting used to it. But part of it, again, is like when it comes to cars, we all have that brand affiliation. We know that in the United States, right? People say, I'm a Chevy guy, I'm a Ford guy, I'm a whatever guy.
Right.
And when you look at some of these electric cars, for example, the Volvo, you know, quasi-Chinese Polestar,
right.
it doesn't feel like anything. It doesn't feel like a Volvo. It just feels different. And it's not resonating with people, in my opinion.
Well, I think many of these electric cars are really just not resonating. Did you get a lot of hate mail, hate comments from, you know, the people that are kind of going, well, you're just not up with the times?
Yeah, a few, but it's the same thing. I mean, listen, I've published pieces on like cryptocurrency and non-fungible tokens and all this technology stuff, and people are in one of two camps. You know, there's nobody who really sees this the way you're describing, the way you see the F-150. The, what you said in the beginning of the show made so much sense. You said, here's a proven car, a proven truck, a proven base for this vehicle,
right.
and a proven fan base. So some of these people who want to try electric are going to naturally carry over.
Right.
When it comes to a lot of these technology things, including electric cars, people feel you got to be all the way in or all the way out.
Right.
And part of that is, and I love what you said before as well, is, you know, come on, even if you want to try an electric truck, and even if you like a Tesla, do you really want to drive something that looks like the car and steroids from Back to the Future? Some
right.
people will.
right.
But some people aren't going to want something that looks like a container of matte aluminum foil.
I know. All right, hold tight. We'll talk more on the other side. Electric cars? Is there one in your future? We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So this song is by Fatboy Slim, and that's me. I'm a fat boy and I want to be slim. I've lost a little bit, but you know, it's summertime now. I want to lose more weight, so I got to just stop eating all the chocolate I just ate at my desk. By the way, Aaron Solomon joining us. He's the guy that wrote the story, Tesla Cybertruck versus Ford F-150, illusion versus reality. You can find that at Auto Trends with an S, autotrends.org. Tesla Cybertruck versus Ford F-150, illusion or reality. So let me ask you something, Aaron. Are you a fan or a not so much of a fan of Elon Musk? I'm just curious.
Let's say 30% fan, 70% not a fan. I think I'd probably be at least 50-50 if everybody didn't just lose their minds over him.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's come on. You know, but here, look, I also do a show for Entrepreneur called Entrepreneur Weekly. And the one thing I recognize in him is that pig-headedness of an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. Oink, oink. I'm pig-headed. And, you know, it's a lot of people look at these pig-headed people that are entrepreneurs and they're like, what the heck is that guy doing? Ah, that's never going to work. Ford, Henry Ford, come on. He was pig-headed, right? I mean, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to be singing his praises right now for the F-150 because he just kind of... He was pig-headed. Come on. He had an idea and he rolled with it. So will history look at Elon Musk like the new Henry Ford, if you know what I'm saying, down the road? So I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. And here's why. Part of the fabric of America is rewarding people who take huge commercial risks.
Right.
And he did. He did in so many different ways. How many people in Elon Musk's exact situation you know, after he exited from his previous company, and he's sitting on close to $200 million, are going to risk it all. You know, there's that story that is really resonant with so many people about him, where after that exit, when he started Tesla and SpaceX, he didn't even have enough money to make rent. He put almost $200 million back into, if you look at it in the most positive way, job creation, innovation, and, you know, moving forward the American dream. So I think that history in the United States is going to treat him reasonably well, but he's still going to be measured by his results. So one of the things he's got to do is get this Cybertruck to market and have it compete well with like this Ford 150 Lightning, which is going to do extremely well.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And my son-in-law, who's a contractor, said, I'm getting me one of those. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get one of those. Yeah, that's kind of neat. Because I live in a small town. I wouldn't have to, you know, worry about, I wouldn't have range anxiety or anything, because I wouldn't take it on a long trip just because I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want that anxiety. But around town and for work and for, you know, I mean, if power goes out, it'll power your house for 3 days. I mean, there's so many things they did that are smart. And guess what? I'm not virtue signaling by driving some strange wedge looking thing from planet Zoltar. I'm just driving an F-150. You know, and so I don't have to, you know, nobody even has to know unless they go, hey, that doesn't really sound like much when you're going down the road. What you got under the hood? Under the hood's a trunk, because this is an electric truck. You know what I'm saying? I think it's brilliant, personally.
I do know what you're saying. Listen, no one's going to make fun of the F-150 anyway.
No.
Even if they didn't like electric vehicles, it's a revered American truck.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still driving an F-150. You're just driving the Lightning. I think it's going to be extremely well-received.
I do, too. And, you know, besides, Ford has taken enough flack for the Mustang Mach-E already. Because one drove by me the other day, and I went, ew! And I just, you know, in my head, I didn't say it out loud. I can't wrap my brain around that. Why, with the Mustang, with the iconic Mustang, why did they call it a Mustang Mach-E? It could have just been called the Mach-E. And this is, I think, when they made a mistake. If it was just an electric car that Ford Motor Company built, but you know what? I mean, you know, I guess they're not perfect, and I think it was a mistake. But it's like bringing back the name Taurus. Remember when Ford brought the name Taurus back? And they said, yeah, we have so much equity in this name. It was bad equity. Anyway, oh my gosh.
I agree 100%. If you look at the iconic American brands, what they've done is find things that work and they stick with it. I read something the other day that the F-150 is like the most sold consumer product behind an iPhone. They are selling so many 150s, it seemed to be a boardroom no-brainer just to say, well, let's make the electric truck a 150. Whereas Tesla from the beginning, and here's another place you've got to give Elon Musk credit. Tesla started from zero when it came to the brand. And you've got to say, I mean, I've been in several Teslas. It's not my thing, like I said before, but they're nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a Tesla that hasn't been nice.
Yeah, true story. No, they are nice. They drive nice. I'm sure they're great cars. I have a lot of friends that have owned them for a while, and they love them to death. And one of them is a classic car guy. So I'm like, come on, get yourself a classic car. He goes, I love classic cars, but I like the, just the, you know, the whatever it is, the Tesla-ness of this. So yeah, it's a funny thing how people end in an opposite, you know, like he was a classic car guy his whole life, and now he's driving a Tesla and he's gotten rid of all his classics. So I don't know. Maybe he's got dementia like me. But anyway, okay, so the story is called Tesla Cybertruck versus Ford F-150 Lightning, illusion versus reality. And Aaron Solomon, good job. Autotrends.org is where you can find that. I appreciate your perspective on all this stuff. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me. It's been a great chat.
Yep. I love talking to guys like that that kind of has, he's got his own mind. He's not even an automotive journalist. He's a journalist. So this was a good one. Take a little break. It is The Drive. She's my pride and
joy. Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And thanks for watching, everybody. Watching, how do you like that? In your mind. It's a theater of the mind. Radio, it allows you to conjure up all kinds of interesting thoughts, especially when I have interesting people that help for that whole process to happen. Yeah, radio. I have to think about it for a moment. George Kennedy III joining us, co-founder of Car Tender, freelance automotive journalist for Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. George, have you had COVID yet by any chance? Just curious.
I did over the summer, early this spring, and I'm about to get my second shot. So I should be quadruply prepared, right?
From what I understand, you're not supposed to take the shots after you have COVID for like 6 months or so.
I thought it was like 90 days. So no, I got my first one.
You got it all wrong. But what happens is it's kind of like removing a skin tag. Your lower anatomy will just drop off. So I'm afraid that... But you know what? There's good news. We'll call you he, him, she, her, they, them, or something. So if it happens, just let us know and we'll help.
Well, I'm getting it on Friday, so by the time that your listeners are listening to this, my weekend might be in jeopardy. So
if you call back and you sound a little different, we'll know why, George. By the way, so I just had this guy on who was not an automotive journalist. His name was Aaron Solomon. And he wrote the story that was very intriguing to me because I read it and I was like, this guy, he's got game. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said. His story was Tesla Cybertruck versus Ford F-150 Lightning, illusion versus reality, right? And so we've been talking about electric cars and what have you. And I know you're driving a hybrid, a Lexus hybrid. But the thought is that, and I was waiting for somebody to do this, which was what Ford did with the Lightning F-150, is they took an F-150 and they just kind of mated it with a electric drivetrain. And you're like, hey, look at that. It works. And look, we can do this and we can do that. And we got a trunk up front now. And
you mean a frunk?
Yeah, a frunk, right? So I think that we're going to see more of that where the automakers are going, you know what? We could modify this platform. But before you talk about, like you and I were talking in the commercial break, the BMW, whatever one they were doing, the hybrid to me is still a best idea. Because then you have best of both worlds where
you
have
plug-in hybrid. Yeah, the plug-in hybrid.
The plug-in, thank you.
Longer range than a non-plug-in. It gives you the option. It cures the range anxiety.
Right.
Right.
Right. So and I've been talking about it because I think it's brilliant. My son-in-law tells me that this new Chrysler Pacifica that they got hybrid, and they got the Pinnacle, which is the fully loaded, really a nice vehicle. They're at 1,200 miles.
Oh, it's got terrific range.
Right? 1,200 miles because they plug it in every night before they have, still at, like he said, I think he was at like half a tank or something. So he says, if you really, can I say hyper mile or are conscious of the way you drive and where you go, you can do amazing things with this electric, part electric drivetrain, part internal combustion engine, hybrid setup. And I think that is where it's at. And I don't know why they aren't doing more of that. And they're just going all electric, which multiple people have said that this is a temporary fix to a long-term problem. And I think the hybrid or a onboard generator, the way they did with the Chevy Volt, that was like an onboard generator. The engine itself, the internal combustion engine, was not hooked up to the axles. It was a generator, right? It was an electric car with its own onboard generator,
right,
which is brilliant.
I hear people are coming from about it being a bridge. I think that, at some point we'll get to a level of battery technology where it will have the range that solves for range anxiety. So, the plug-in hybrid's a great bridge to get to that. I think they're a bit more complex to build because it's not just a hybrid. You've got to worry about the charging apparatus. You've got to worry about a bigger battery and packaging. So from a logistical standpoint, from a user experience, it's a great bridge. I think from a production experience, it might present different challenges.
But let me beg to differ. I'm begging you. Let me beg to differ.
Oh, okay. Please,
so
beg.
If you're talking about packaging of the drive train, we'll call it. The bigger the vehicle, the more room you have to do stuff, like with the F-150. So if you took, let's just say General Motors decides, all right, let's make a Suburban that has a hybrid. Then all of a sudden, maybe they only put the four-cylinder engine under the hood that's like they did with their Volt because it's an onboard generator, which, oh, by the way, yes, you can use to power your house
And consider, too, that there are, you know, there's the Duramax diesel inline six. There's the four-cylinder Duramax that I think you get in the Colorado. A lot of gen sets out there are diesel powered, right? They're just meant to kind of hum along at a low RPM.
Right.
That's great for that.
I agree. So I feel like that we have really not landed on it yet. The it in quotes of like, what is it going to be moving us into the future?
So in the context of big vehicles, absolutely, because we just can't seem to help ourselves when it comes to just massive stuff. And we need vehicles to do a lot of things, carry a lot of people, tow, haul, all that stuff. When it comes to smaller vehicles, yes, the packaging's an issue, but if we are still committed to driving big vehicles, which I don't see any end in sight for that, then the plug-in hybrid suits itself very easily to a larger platform.
So you know that I bought a Jeep Gladiator, which is the Wrangler pickup truck, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I got the Mojave Edition, which is a desert off-road versus rock crawling with the Rubicon. This is what they call desert rated versus trail rated. Okay, so I hooked up to a trailer the other day. And I'm telling you, the thing, like the trailer hitch was going to rub the ground because it's got such soft suspension for jumping.
It's a softer setup. Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I got to put some airbags on it. But I got to tell you, I really love this thing. My sister says, I got to buy a diesel. So she's got a diesel version of it coming. She goes, why didn't you buy a diesel? And I'm like, you know what? I still like to make things go fast. I can't help it. It's in my blood.
I mean, their diesels are pretty quick, and they've got what was an 8-speed transmission that does a really good job managing power.
No, it does.
I don't know. You know, it depends on where you live in the country, where not every single street corner is going to have diesel at the pump.
Well, that's true, especially in the city. But they're in Texas. I'm in Oregon. Plenty of diesel everywhere. You're in Boston. Maybe not so much.
Not everyone, but there's still a decent amount around.
Yeah. By the way, that Jeep is a much bigger vehicle than your mind tells you it is. Mm-hmm. I parked it next to, you know, kind of what we'll call a mini truck, and it dwarfed it. And then I parked it next to a full-size diesel 3/4-ton crew cab, and it wasn't really all that much smaller. I thought to myself, man, this thing's bigger than my mind thinks it is. You know what I mean? It's funny how the packaging is. They did a great job.
What an off-road suspension and a 5-foot bed will do for you.
That's right. That's right. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, George is going to talk about the Lexus UX Hybrid. What's that? Stay tuned and you'll find out. It's The Drive. Just slow down. So don't be surprised to see me back in the bright part of town. I'll be back in the highlight. When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink Multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru, the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Thanks to Subaru for sponsoring the show. George Kennedy III joining us. Again, you can find his work in Car Guru's Boston Globe and U.S. News and World Report. He hails from the Boston area, and he is driving the Lexus UX Hybrid. Tell the world what that is. So just in the mind's eye, what is it? It's competitors and, you know, is it an SUV or a sedan? What is this thing?
I mean, it's technically an SUV or a crossover. It's a subcompact crossover. So basically a hatchback with a little extra ground clearance and some sort of rubber around the wheel wells. It's interesting because I was, you know, driving near an older Lexus CT200H, which was their first dedicated hybrid. Used sort of a similar drivetrain to the Prius, if I'm not mistaken. That was like from 5 years ago, right?
Right.
This is a very similar car with a similar layout, similar cabin dimensions, maybe even less cargo space. But because crossovers and SUVs of every size and every tax bracket are so red hot right now, they position this vehicle as a subcompact crossover.
Can I say that I'm getting a little bit sick of subcompact or crossovers or SUVs? Only because there are so many of them that it's like, how do I explain? It's like locusts. They're coming from everywhere. Enough, enough.
Yeah, you know? I've tried to get my head around this because there are some great hatchbacks out there. Like, you know, the Volkswagen Golf, for example. I love that car. It has terrific driving dynamics, an upscale interior. It's got like 55 cubic feet of cargo space. That's more than I believe what this has. I think this has something like, it's got a little over 21 cubic feet of cargo space. So there's not really much utility, in the sport utility vehicle.
Well, so it's like you're calling it kind of a hatchback crossover hybrid called a UX hybrid. But here's the deal. People have finally gotten to the point where they're like, I need to be able to, like, for example, I'm driving the Corvette, the new Corvette, which, got to tell you, I love it and I hate it all at the same time, only because I am a kind of a purist in the fact that, and I wasn't until I bought that Toyota Supra, which, you know, I was kind of on the fence. And then I realized, you know what? This is kind of a BMW and kind of a Toyota, but I'm not sure what it is, so I'm kind of confused.
Right.
So now it's like this Corvette, now the rear engine, and it's kind of looks, people are like, what is that, a Ferrari? What is that, a Lamborghini? Right, I go, no, it's a Corvette. What? And so if you don't know, you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. But this morning I wanted to put a lawnmower in the front of it or the back of it, and of course it ain't going to go because it's a Corvette. It's a sports car, obviously. But I want to drive it because I only have it for a few minutes. So I had to leave it and bring my Jeep, which I could put anything in because it's got a bed on it. And so I feel like, you know, I'm like everybody else that unless you have a pile of money and you don't have to ask how much it is, because if you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it anyway, right? So then you're not going to buy, you know, a car that you can't put your stuff in or that you can't take the lawnmower to get fixed.
Two golf bags in the back of that, and it still fits the target top roof, which is great. I think the advice of don't buy this mid-engine Corvette because you can't fit a lawnmower in the back.
No, I'm just saying, though, but if you can only afford one car, you're not going to buy the car of your dreams, which may be the Corvette. You got to buy something practical.
Right.
And the thing is,
it's funny you say that because it goes to the electric car conversation we were just having.
Right.
In that, you know, you need a car that's going to make this extra range. Well, if people are already buying, you know, a Silverado HD to do yard work or do their job on the weekend, and then a Camaro or a Corvette for the weekend, then people are already making peace with purchasing two cars.
So here's the deal. Of course, everybody's like, well, yeah, you don't buy a Corvette, you idiot. If you got a landscaping business, you buy a Chevy truck. But what I'm saying is that many of us buy things impulsively and we buy it and then we go, oh, crap, I can't do anything with it except look good, right? And
right.
And of course, I can have fun driving and all that, but you really got to not do the thinking with the lower anatomy. You got to really think about what's going on. And the people in today's world research things and they give it a whole lot of thought. And what has risen to the top are these types of crossover hatchback SUV.
You're absolutely okay. Right. I was kind of getting there myself. Yeah. And that is why these cars are so popular, is that they do, in most cases, do have cargo space for all of your activities during the week and or weekend. But they're also built on these car-based platforms that give it a little bit of ground clearance, but really compliant on highway and around town driving dynamics. And a lot of them are actually pretty fun to drive. I mean, this car, the UX, has really good turn in. You know, it's no sports car, but it's pretty, you know, pretty refined and agile. You look at a vehicle like the, you know, the Mazda SUVs, the CX-5 and the CX-30. Those have straight up sporty driving dynamics and they have enough cargo space for, you know, most of life's activities.
So the question I have is, before we get out of this segment, because it's going to end in about 30 seconds and then you're only going to have 5 minutes to tell us how much you love the UX hybrid from Lexus. What is the price of it? I'm just curious because that'll be a determining factor for the people that listen.
Yeah, so the UX Hybrid starts at $35,000. Oh. We drove the F Sport, which costs $37,000. Just for context, the non-hybrid UX starts at $32,900.
Okay, so this is actually quite affordable, and I'm surprised. We're going to take a break because it is Lexus. If you're interested in this car, hang tight. He's going to tell you all about it on the other side. Be right back. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So our show is brought to you in part by Autotempest.com. And, you know, they have a very powerful search engine. You can simultaneously search all the top car sites, including Car Gurus, which is where George Kennedy III hails from. But one search, all the cars. Autotempest.com. George Kennedy. All right. So the 2021 is what I take it is. 2021 Lexus UX Hybrid. Give us a little bit. What did you think? Driving impressions and mileage and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So coming into it, as long as you don't really think about it as a SUV that you're going to go out and do weekend warrior stuff and approach it more of a luxury hatchback with a slight lift, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. It is. The word I keep coming back to with this car is refined. The steering is refined. The handling is refined. The cabin just feels great. The seats are terrific. It has these really cool red, bold red seats that offset with like kind of the bold blue exterior paint. It still has the remote control touch pad for the infotainment system. Lexus, like other automakers, is starting to pivot away from that. So if you look to the sedan, the compact sedan that Lexus offers that they just updated, the IS, they've replaced that infotainment system with a touchscreen. You still have the remote touchpad, you know, down in the center console because they don't want to be shown to wave the white flag about that remote touch.
Right.
But really, the big news is that that car has a touchscreen, and it would be great if in the next year or so, Lexus update the infotainment system on this to have the touchscreen. That's really the one major thing this car is missing.
You know, it's so funny because this Jeep I'm driving and the Corvette and, you know, all these new cars have touchscreens, which are still distractions. You know, you kind of have to take your eye off the road because there's so much information on
but
there to
not
touch.
Not as much as like having to look down at your hand. Oh, did I slide over to the right place?
Oh, no, you know, I get it. I get
notepad.
It. Right.
That's brutal.
Right. But what they're doing is they're putting the screen way up high. So you just literally your peripheral vision or your vision can kind of look at two things at once or at least be conscious of, you know, if there's nothing in front of you and nothing behind you and you can momentarily go, all right, I want to go to satellite radio. Boom, there it is. And I want to get to whatever kind of, you know, Hair Nation or whatever I want to listen to. But there's some work you got to do, but there's still, you know, that's why these cars that have all the nannies on them, when I say nannies, you know, guardrails kind of built in electronically. So they lane departure warning system and emergency braking and all these
right.
kind of, I think that's where we're getting, you know, better, much better at the safety stuff with cars these days.
Well, it's funny now because with a lot of these infotainment systems, you almost need these driver assistance features to let you know that you're veering sort of out of the lane while you're trying to change the radio station using a little trackpad.
Right, right. So you're 6 foot whatever, big guy. How did you fit in this thing?
I fit in it fine. I mean, I wouldn't try sitting behind me with the seat in that position.
Right.
But I know as a commuter car, it's terrific. I mean, I had plenty of legroom. The only thing I noticed, and this is something that as a guy with long legs and long arms, is that when I got the seat where I wanted, the steering wheel did not telescope out far enough.
Oh.
And I've seen that with a lot of cars.
Well, kind of a nickname of Gigantor, it's to be expected. But anyway, did you say it was a plug-in hybrid or not?
No, it was not a plug-in hybrid. It's a four-cylinder engine, gas engine, yep, with two electric motors. Only comes as all-wheel drive, and it still gets 41 mpg in the city and 38 highway. Wow. I've been driving under the city and the highway in sport mode, laying on the throttle, and I've barely seen the needle move in terms of the gas tank.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, such a difference. Again, my son-in-law with a minivan, and it's not so many, they're pretty big, the Plymouth, Chrysler Pacifica. But isn't that sad? Plymouth is gone. Pontiac is gone. All these brands are gone. Mercury's gone. It's like, what's next? But 1,200 and some odd miles, and he's still got a half a tank. If you drive thoughtfully, you can even have a pretty good-sized vehicle. And now, even with the F-150, I'm telling you what, we are heading into new territory. And I think the automakers, poor old Elon Musk, you know, he's probably like freaking out right now because they're really figuring out. Did you say that BMW is coming out with something that's electric?
Yeah, there's an electric i4. So that's basically, it's their 4 Series Grand Coupe, but with an electric powertrain. And it's cool to see that they're like the F-150. They're taking conventional platforms and electrifying them. I think that's what's going to get more people into this stuff and grow it out of what right now is still a niche.
All right. You can find his work in Boston Globe. How do you do it? BostonGlobe.com/cars or something?
Boston.com/cars. This review will be on Car Gurus.
Car Gurus, U.S. News and World Report. That's George Kennedy. George, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right. The Lexus UX Hybrid. He gives it a thumbs up, I'm pretty sure there. And, you know, you can't go wrong with a hybrid. A plug-in, even better. We'll be right back. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is hour two of the show, and I am adding the voice of reason, the automotive journalist that has bailed me out of jail more than once, BJ Colleen.
I think it's like about 5 or 6 times now, isn't it?
Oh, it is not. I've never been to jail in my life, and you know
it. I know that.
Only in my
but,
mind.
But, you know, it's a good image, like you're a tough guy. You know?
I know, right? I'm such a weenie. So, BJ, I have got the 2021 Corvette Stingray Coupe, starting life at $66,200, okay? Then if you want to add the Z51 performance package, it is another $5,995, which this one does have. And it's got the front adjustable height because, you know, if you want to go up a steep curve or something or a driveway or whatever, you have a button that you can push that raises up the front. That's another couple of grand, $1,995. It's got the GT2 bucket seats, which are $1,495. It's got the engine appearance package, which is $995. I don't know why. I mean, it's already a good looking engine, but they just make it a little more fancy. Bright red brake calipers cost an extra $595. And torch red seat belts are $395. Total price $76,765. Which I got to tell you, considering that is like less than half of other vehicles that look like this, because this is the new Corvette, 6.2 liter V8 engine, 8-speed dual clutch paddle shift transmission. if you buy something else that, you know, like the competitors, Ferrari, Lamborghini, because a lot of people think that's what this new thing is, because the engine is in the, you know, in the mid-engine now, like the other cars have, they're 2 and 3 and 4 times that much money. So I got to tell you, for what you get here, this is a lot of car. Now, do I love it? I'm not sure if I love it. I love being behind the wheel when I'm driving it, but there's a lot of things that I don't love about it. And one of them is that I'm a confused automotive enthusiast, because even though this is far superior, BJ, far superior to the last iteration of the Corvette, I don't love that it doesn't resemble a Corvette. Doesn't look like anything like a Corvette at all anymore. It looks like more like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. So the purist in me goes, hey, wait a minute. There's no engine in the front. There's no long hood anymore. It's supercar-esque. And everybody's like, that's the point, you idiot. I'm like, you know, I'm like, all right, shut up.
Your age is showing.
I know. I better cover it up.
Yeah, you should cover it up. I mean, really, it's embarrassing. But the bottom line is, for the Corvette, it's always had supercar status at an entry-level price for supercars.
Right.
So the fact that they kept that going, and I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of the regular Corvette design, but the Stingray kicks it up a notch, and it does. It absolutely looks more like a European high-end sports car. There's no doubt about it. But I kind of like the way it looks. I mean, you must be getting a lot of attention when you're driving it on the street.
Well, yes. And as, you know, my father would say when I was a little boy, if I didn't zip up, he'd say, you better zip it up. And it's like, I feel like everybody's looking at me kind of like, what's going on? Did I not zip? Right? What is going on with it? It's like everybody looks at you like something's wrong with you when you drive by. Of course, this bright red. It's like,
yeah, that's a give me a ticket red. That's that color, right?
it's like, I don't like the attention. It's like, and I when I had my Viper, you know, it was the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, it's like, I'm not sure if they're going to throw a tomato at me or if they want to wave at me. It's like, what are you digging out of your backpack there, buddy? It's an attention grabber. Yes, it is. I know. And look, I've had a lot of these kind of cars, but it really, I don't know. There's something about it that, listen, it's faster than hell. It's honestly one of the fastest cars I've driven in a long time. My Viper ACR would do 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. I think this is sub 3 seconds, 0 to 60 in this
car.
It
is. Correct.
That's like, that rolls your eyes in your head.
That's what you want out of a sports car, especially for $80,000.
Yeah. We'll take a break, talk more about it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's there's lots of right with it. But it's how you feel when you're driving a car. We'll be right back.
Song came and went, like the times that we spent hiding out.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Yeah!
Well, if you're having problem with erectile dysfunction, this is the fix for it. It's the new Corvette Stingray Coupe. This one I have is a Z51 performance package, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. I got to tell you, man. But
so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You feel like a porcupine when you're inside.
Oh, yeah, I know this one. The porcupine is a real prickly on the outside, and the key word is the prickly part. And the porcupine, yes, is the prickly on the outside and the prickly on the inside. I get it. That's, yeah, we can't say that.
Yeah, Corvette owners have always had a bad rap, and I think it's because it was the greasy guy with the chains and the sports car, because it was an affordable Ferrari.
Right.
But I think that personality is changing now, because actually I've seen a lot of Corvettes with women driving them, because I think a lot of women are appreciating performance a little bit more, and absolutely the styling is beautiful. And I have a special place in my heart for Corvettes, because it was the first vehicle I drove when I got to Motor Trend. So
you know what's funny? What year was that, roughly?
It was 86, and I was blessed because Ron Grable said, well, you know how to put it in reverse, right? You have to lift it up and put it in reverse. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that. I'm like, I had no idea that was true.
He's talking about the manual transmission is what he's talking
manual
about.
Manual transmission, yeah.
Okay,
you shouldn't
so,
have an automatic in a Corvette.
So my first experience with any kind of a nice Corvette was in 84. I bought myself, and I was a young guy, I bought myself an 84 Corvette. Brand new.
Nice.
And it was black. And I met this girl that I was, you know, had been dating, you know, and so the first thing I do is I go and I pick her up for a date in my new Corvette. And she never says a word about it. And so I'm like, finally, I'm getting a little pissed here because I got like a Back to the Future car. I mean, that's how advanced it was in its day, right? Yes. And she never says a word. I finally look at her and I go, aren't you going to ask me about my car? And she goes, oh, it's nice. What is it? And I'm like, what is it? What is it? What did you leave at home? Your brain? You know, anyway, I ended up marrying her. And
did
that
you
was,
dump her?
No, that was a long time ago. And I'm still married to her. Anyway, she could care less about cars. And I thought, this is probably the girl I should marry. Otherwise, I'll go and say.
But, you know, Corvettes, I mean, I love them because one of my dream cars is a 63 split window Corvette. And I will never be able to afford that, but it's a beautiful car and I absolutely love it. And so, but you're lucky. I haven't had a chance to get in the Corvette. Hopefully I will soon.
So let's just talk about the machine because I'm a very touchy feely guy. I'm a very emotional guy. I'm a very in my feelings guy. And you've heard about that now, right? You've heard about how it makes me feel when I'm inside of it. You hear when somebody, you know, is looking at me and I feel like you're looking at me. What are you looking at, huh? And this is like the, you know, I'm going to get out and fight the guy. And he's like, oh, I was looking at your car. It's pretty nice. Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Or you look like a jerk. What's wrong? You know, anyway, so I'm very emotional and about these types of things. And of course, it's all going on in my head. None of it comes out. I just sit there like cool man, cool hand Luke, right? But what's going on in my head now, the machine part of this thing, dude, off the hook. Like I said, off the hook. It's crazy. And I wish that I wouldn't have had a bright flame red one dropped off. I wish, and I always buy black cars because then you can go stealthily through the night, right?
Yes. But
not in this. It's like, it's so bright that it actually glows. Because this, what color is this? They said it's torch red, I think. But the machine part of this thing is fantastic. I mean, it's race car stuff. It's things Ferraris are made out of. Oh, did I say that? Only better, I think. I don't know. Because you go to the General Motors, to the Chevrolet dealer, and you get it serviced if it needs service. You don't got to take the engine out to check the oil. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's absolutely wonderful. But, you know, there's such an emotional part of it for me, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, Corvette has really learned a lot from doing the racing and driving on the Nürburgring. So obviously they honed the skills. And you know, Corvette is the halo car for General Motors, for Chevrolet.
Right.
And it really is what it's all about. And if they didn't get it right, they would have really messed up. Luckily for them, they got it right. And they've got a lot of admirers. I think Corvette is just going to be one of those venerable cars that will just continue to be popular and continue to do well because of the history. And, you know, you've got the family and you've got the clubs and the racing. I mean, it's just, there's so much more to Corvette than just the actual vehicle. But if you buy one, you know, you're part of all that. And I think that helps make the decision, too. Not that you're not part of it with Ferrari, too.
Right.
But, you know, you go to the track with your Corvette. And also, you have an accident. You hit the back end with the wall. You know, you don't mortgage your house to get
right,
it fixed. So.
Right. All right. Hold tight. And by the way, 27 miles to the gallon on the highway, 19 around. 15 around town, 19 combined. But you drive it like I do, it doesn't get that. We'll take a break. This is Hooked on a Feeling, and I am hooked on a feeling that I'm a classic car guy. I'm learning that more and more all the time. I think that's a good thing. We'll be right back. It's as sweet as...
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6 inch touchscreen available on select models.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, BJ Colleen joining me, voice of reason in my world. So, BJ, just to wrap up the Corvette, the 2021 Stingray Z51. I really love the car, the machine. But for me, I guess I'm realizing at my age, I'm becoming very emotionally attached or affected by cars, and not so much when you get in something that is, you know, an SUV or something. It's just an appliance, right? And
yes.
This Corvette is by no means an appliance. This is it's like an AR-15 or some sort of like a flamethrower. It's just not a normal, you know, pop gun. And all I can tell, it's internal combustion. Engines are internal combustion. So are guns. But this is like a specialty tool. And I would own one of these if I was going to go to the racetrack and drive it on the racetrack and just blow everybody away. There's no question that if you are feeling inadequate or have erectile dysfunction, men, this will definitely cure that in a matter of moments. It really is like when you mash down on the gas and you know that if it didn't have the traction control and all the nannies, the car would literally just sit there and spin in circles. It has so much power. It's incredible. So do I love it as a machine? Absolutely. Emotionally, I am totally admitting to the world that I love classic cars that emotionally affect me in a positive way. This is so new. It's more like I'm going to get in it, and I think I'll just take a little trip to the moon because I know it's got little wings that pop out and it just fly to the moon. You know, it's a James Bond car. So,
chitty,
yeah.
Chitty, bang, bang.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this car on Earth. It is all that is right about the automotive industry. Hats off to General Motors for making this machine, period. I wish they would have just called it the Z71 or the Z51 or something, because to me, I don't see the heritage that is all in the Corvette. And a lot of people that are classic car guys, you can tell it's always a classic car people that are like, what happened? You got the engine in the wrong place. You know what? And I guess I'm turning into one of those guys, BJ. It sucks.
Well, let me ask you a question. All right. We know what Ford did with the Mustang. We know they made it an SUV that's all EV.
Yeah. Mustang.
What do you think? What do
Sorry.
You think? What do you think the future is for the Corvette? Do you think they're going to go to an electric Corvette? Do you think they're going to make it an SUV? Do you think that would be a mistake if they did that?
Listen, the market will tell them that. And I think the Mustang Mach-E, we talked about it a little bit in the first hour. I personally wish they would have just called it a Mach-E, right? Because when they put the word Mustang on the front of that, I literally threw up in my mouth a little bit, and I'm a Mustang owner. So, and it's very acidic and it's a disgusting taste, and I don't like to do that. So when they did that, it affected me. And like I said, I'm becoming very emotional about cars. Do not make another Ford Taurus, Ford. Don't do it. We're done with it. So the market will tell General Motors, Ford, any of these car companies, Dodge and Chrysler and all they will tell you if you made a mistake. And guess what? The jury is out on the Mach-E Mustang thing yet. It's out. And we won't probably know for a couple of years. I don't think they're ever going to make a station wagon Corvette. I don't think they're going to make an SUV Corvette. I hope that General Motors is smart enough, and I believe they are, that they will leave this a heritage performance sports car piece, the halo piece of the brand. And like I said, the machine is wonderful. It's wonderful, but it affects me in kind of an interesting emotional way until I'm driving. And then I go, hey, get out of my way. Shut up. Get out. Honk, honk. You know, and it's like,
let me ask you a question. Yeah. Okay. Because if the future is EVs and hydrogen vehicles, the V8 has to die at some point. I know it breaks my heart to even those words coming out of my mouth, but the bottom line is you aren't going to be producing a V8 for one car that probably doesn't sell more than 50,000, 75,000 units a year at the most. And I have to look up the numbers. I don't know exactly, but at that point, what do you do?
You know what? Look at Ford did with the V6 twin turbo, put it in the Ford GT, which is insane. They put it in the Raptor, and the market says Raptor, Ford truck, Raptor. I want electric over here. So they come out with a Lightning. They want a Raptor is like something that jumps through the air and is kind of like a transformer machine. We want V8s. V8 is what we really want because we love how it sounds. So guess what they're doing now? They're coming out with a V8. Sure, it's going to be $100,000. Who cares? Because if you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it anyway. So all I can say is that the market will dictate.
It might be interesting to see because they probably will still produce V8 crate engines, and maybe you just start buying the bodies and you just you have them install the crate engine. You buy the crate engine like an option. You buy the body without an engine and you tell them to put it together, and then way they can charge you for the engine. They'll still make money, but they don't have to put it into like major production. So, you know, there's probably lots of things they're thinking about right
listen,
now.
Listen, this was the birth of, you know, guys like Carroll Shelby, John Hennessy, all these other tuner people, even with the Mini Coopers, you know, John Cooper.
Yeah.
Look, they'll tune anything, and then you have that version of it. So did I just pick up my Shelby at Shelby and talk to them about electric cars? Yes. Did Carroll Shelby 20 years ago say, 20 years from now, they're going to have electric cars and we'll be there? And, you know, do I love that? Not really, but I'll be dead before that anyway. So we'll see. We'll take a break. Don't go anywhere. One more with BJ Khalid. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Autotempest.com. My kids are like, Dad, that is cool. Because I got a bunch of car guy kids. Makes online car shopping easy with the powerful Autotempest.com search engine. You can simultaneously search all the top car sites like Carvana, Auto Trader, eBay Motors, True Car, Cars and Bids, many others, and even Craigslist. All the cars, one search, Autotempest.com. BJ Khalid is joining us right now. We're talking about this Corvette Stingray Z51. Wild animal, and $76,795 out the door. But, you know, I think they start, you can buy a very stripped down model. The most base model they make is like $59,000, which is such a ridiculous good deal for what you get for the money, you know?
True, absolutely. And, you know, I was talking about sales numbers.
Yeah.
And last year, Corvette sold 21,000. This year, they're on track for about 26,000 to 27,000. So it's not the 75,000 numbers of the old days. So, but
yes,
you know,
yes,
so
yes, but V8? Hold on.
V8, though?
Yes, but we've been in the middle of a psychological and biological warfare called a pandemic. You know, whatever you want to call it, it's the equivalent of, you know, like the depression of, you know, the early part of 1900. Listen, the fact that they're selling that many cars and it's increasing, it's amazing because they weren't even able to build them for a little while. You know what I'm saying? So I think we give them a little mulligan for that right now.
Yeah, and you know, they're saying that, that Kia came out with their sales numbers and Hyundai, and they're setting records. And I'm like, you know, with the chip shortage, where are they getting these cars that they're setting records from? But I know that Hyundai and Kia were smart, and they pre-purchased a lot of chips, so they're not hurting as bad as everybody else. But they said everybody else is doing record sales too. And I think what it is also the dealers are loving it because they're jacking up the price because they don't have any cars. And then if you want to sell your used car, you're getting more than you paid for it. And I think you did that once, didn't you? Once or twice.
I have, and I hope to do it again. I mean, it's not very often that they, you know, the automakers make something in such low numbers, which is, you know, I mean, so like I said, that's not a bad thing for the classic car enthusiast that likes to buy a car, hold it for a year, have fun with it, sell it, get his money back, or make a little bit of money, which is, you know, rare, but it happens. Like my new, I have a Shelby GT500 special edition. Or actually, I keep saying it's a signature edition, Carroll Shelby signature edition. I have serial number 8. This is the second time that I've been able to get serial number 8. Got one with Dodge, with the Demon, and now I have one with the GT500. I bought it last August, and then here comes this stupid pandemic that sucks big toes, because I got it and it sucked. But then my car sat because they weren't making the carbon fiber hood, because people are not working. And it's like, so here I'm getting it literally right now, almost a year later, serial number 8, 2020. I think it's worth some money because it's a single digit serial number. They got to be worth more money. So I'm kind of rare in the way that I know all these people, and I can say, I'll buy one if you give me a low serial number. And they're like, well, we'll see what we got.
Well, are you going to sell it, or are you going to keep it?
I'm going to keep it for a little bit, but then it's like everything. What does Carroll Shelby say? What's your favorite car? What's the best car? The next one. Right? And so that's what it is. That's, I walk through life and walk through my cars. Do I miss my any number of my last 10 cars? Yes. But that keeps that hunger alive. It really does. And, you know, maybe when Shelby or Hennessy, maybe John Hennessy, who's a friend of mine, maybe he'll talk me into getting a Corvette that he's juiced up to 1,000 horsepower or something stupid. What's his F5 Venom is 1,800 horsepower. It's possible to do this and still run on pump gas, I believe, you know, because technology is what it is. That's why I believe at some point, you were talking about electric cars, I believe there will be choices for people. You either want an electric car and you buy yourself an electric car, or you want a supercar, you buy a Hennessy F5, you know, Venom, whatever he's calling it, 1,800 horsepower. What are you going to do with 1,800? What are you going to do with 800? My new Shelby is 800 horsepower. What are you going to do with that? Burn out every now and then, do some donuts. Yeah, I do that. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's put it this way. You said that you've never been arrested. If you got that car, you got that Hennessy with 1,800 horsepower, I will be bailing you out of jail. There's no question.
You know what? All they got to do is catch me. That's what I say. Just
yeah. And they'll never catch you in that car. But you can outrun a Motorola, but you can't outrun a helicopter either.
Well, and here's the deal. If you get a black one and it's dirty. Remember my Demon? Do you remember what its nickname was? Hashtag Dirty Demon?
Yeah.
The reason why, the reason why I did the Dirty Demon is because I didn't wash it for the first 6 months of ownership. I literally filthied the thing up so it was flat black. It disappeared in the night. remember what was that name of that guy with the Pontiac Firebird?
Knight Rider.
Yeah. So my cars are like Knight Rider. I do all kinds of bad things, and then I pull them into the Bat Cave, and I go, no, officer, I haven't seen that car. I know. Do as I say, not as I do. It's a terrible thing. My kids.
You need to get an outfit so that makes you look like a grandma. So when they pull you, it's like, that wasn't me. I'm a grandma. I'm driving slowly.
Drive-by fruiting. All right. Give me the most exciting news, because we got about 2 minutes. What's in the news that excites you? Anything? Car-wise?
The coolest thing is the Hyundai Ioniq 5. You know, it's their all-new electric vehicle.
Yep.
What they're going to be doing is, if you're not sure about it, you can actually do it like a little mini lease for 3 months to try it out.
Wow.
Before you buy it. Yeah. So, wow. I mean, you'll pay for it for those 3 months, but You want to make sure that it fits your lifestyle and your range, and it's pretty cool. It's going to give you about 300 miles of range from a 225 horsepower electric motor and rear wheel drive. So it's actually a very cool little car, because we know we like the Ioniq anyway. But here's a chance, like, you know, I'm not sure. Go check out the new Ioniq 5, which is their new EV. But the Hyundai is going to collect payments corresponding to the use of the car plus insurance. But it's almost like a mini lease. So it's going to be interesting to see how many people take them up on that.
I got a hats off here to Hyundai for their new commercials. They're entertaining. And when you could say that about a car company, I remember when I was a kid, my dad bought a Volkswagen Thing. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember. Yes, you are old enough to remember the Volkswagen commercials. Right. But for the listeners out there, but if you're old enough and you never saw these, I think you can Google them and watch the Volkswagen Thing commercials from like 1973. They were always fun and entertaining. And I remember my dad going, see that right there? My dad's British. That's a very smart company. They make you laugh, which then makes you, you know, happy, which then makes you want what they have. And he went out and bought a Volkswagen Thing, of which, let me just tell you, I was stuck with a Thing going to high school. And everybody made fun of me. But you know what? I loved it. And I want another one. So all I can say is marketing is very important. And right now, Hyundai is doing a good job. Have you seen the commercial where they jump the car and it actually goes like sideways through the air and lands all goofy? This is the new.
No,
I'm like, what did they just do? And I got to watch. I've only seen the commercial once, but they're doing all kinds of stuff to grab your attention. And then they leave you with a little Cheshire Cat grin on your face like, that's smart. And that's what I like about car companies that go out of their way to entertain. Because if commercials aren't entertaining, I shut them off. And they're spending a lot of money on those suckers. All right, BJ, I love you. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. A lot of fun, as always.
I have been venting all of my emotions today. I'm feeling very fragile. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to have a little cry break. Be right back. Down for you. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Okay, it's time to add my favorite, well, best friend, because that's the name of the song, automotive industry analyst, Forbes Autos contributor, North American Car and Truck of the Year juror and board member, executive analyst for iccars.com, executive publisher, all that stuff. I was supposed to say carexpert.com at the end. Carl Brown. It's like, could your stuff get any bigger here? Come on. It's like, there's too much. Just say Carl Brower, automotive expert. That's what I'm going from there anymore. Or car expert.
Good deal.
Since there's .com on the end of that one. Carl, I want to do a lightning round with you, okay? Is it fair? Because you're fresh to the show. I know you've been listening to a little bit of it, and you probably heard a few of the things I said, which you're probably going, you shouldn't have said that on the radio. But you know what? I get in trouble all the time. It's a chance you take. C8 Corvette. C8, and I was driving the Stingray Z51 package. Bright red. Give me your thoughts. 10 seconds. No, I'll give you 30. Go ahead.
Incredibly capable car that delivers probably as much exotic car bang for the buck that you can buy right now. So it's a capable, exciting car in terms of price and style.
Yes.
I have to be honest, when I drive the C8, I feel like there should be a greater sense of drama somehow, a greater sense of occasion. When I'm driving a mid-engine V8 sports car, I want to feel like something incredible is going on every time I fire it up and drive it. And I could, maybe it's a bad backhanded compliment, but I almost feel like they made the car too refined. They've made it too,
wow,
capable and buttoned down. Now we've got Z06s and ZR1s coming, so maybe that'll fix all that. But I just feel like there could be more excitement on the car. And it's like, what do you mean it's fast? I'm not saying it's not fast. I'm not saying it doesn't handle well. I'm saying while it's doing all those things, I'm not feeling as excited as I'd like to feel.
Okay. So I have thought about it since I said some pretty outlandish things earlier, which I'm known to do. But I really feel like I felt like I had breast augmentation and everybody was looking at me everywhere I went. And then I realized they're not looking at me at all. They're looking at this car going, what is that? A Ferrari or a what? Huh? No. And then they kind of go, oh, that's the new Corvette C8. Oh, wow. And but I felt, I don't know why, maybe it's because I'm more emotional lately, but I just felt a little funny. And I think the color, this bright red, had it been black, had it been anything else but this incredible bright red, and it's a hot looking car, don't get me wrong. But now I know what it feels like to get breast augmentation because I had it for a week. Driving that car. All right. Next one, fast lightning round. Electric cars. I'm just going to say that. Give me your take on just that massive, that one, it's like a, you know, one thing, but there's so much going on there. Give me your take.
Inevitable part of our personal transportation system, a more dominant part than it is right now. The level of dominance it ultimately settles in at, I don't think is going to be as high as a lot of people are saying right now, and I certainly don't think they are going to 100% replace internal combustion engines, at least not in the 5 to 10 year time span that all these other companies and government agencies are all claiming we're done with internal combustion in 2030. So no, you're not, but we'll see what happens.
Right. Somebody was saying, well, you're not even going to be able to buy a V8 pretty soon. And I'm like, come on. But, you know, then when they make the F-150 Lightning and you're going, the electric truck, that it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. I guess I could see it. And then that, the V6 EcoBoost twin turbo, both of them, the smaller one, the 2.8 and the 3.5. Amazing what they've done. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. All right. Now, hydrogen power. Just give me your riff on that.
Hindenburg. No, sorry. That's just being mean. Hydrogen is a brilliant solution in the right circumstance. And in this case, the circumstance is urban fleet use. You got a fleet of Amazon trucks, UPS trucks, local delivery trucks that all go on the same basic route with a confirmed range. And most importantly, come back to home base at the end of every day and then are ready the next day to go again. Awesome. Put up one of those big, expensive, highly engineered hydrogen refueling stations in home base and drive all those cars around in a city without making any noise and emitting only water. Brilliant. The idea that you're going to have a network of hydrogen stations even close to the gas or electric car stations that we have today, almost impossible for me to conceive. They are just too expensive. It just takes too much energy and time and effort to move the hydrogen around. Remember, it's got to be pressurized to some crazy amount to keep it in a liquid form, and that's really expensive. So I don't see it being a mainstream form of transportation, but a great industrial form.
All right. As I am good at reading people's minds, I'm reading your mind, and I want you to wipe that thing clean because you're picturing me with breast augmentation. Knock it off, Carl Brower. We'll take a break, give you a chance to meditate. Be right back, everybody.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Carl Brower joining us. He and I both had Dodge Demons. Simultaneously, I sold mine. I'm on to a Shelby GT500, Carroll Shelby Signature Edition. It just got dropped off. I was going to drive it home, Carl, but I didn't. I didn't want a chance. It's a black car. And I thought, I'm going to have it delivered. So I had it delivered, got here. Oh my gosh, what a fantastic car. I do want to race you, you know, that's all there is to it. But anyway, it's another story for another day. It is 800 horsepower, and I think yours is 802 without doing all the fancy stuff to it to get it to 840. So
808, but
whatever.
Tell me that we have not recreated a perfect time frame and a perfect candidate for a modern day version of the Bullet Chase.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of a 390 GT Mustang Fastback versus a Charger RT with a 440, it's a GT 500 versus a Dodge Demon.
We need to film that. Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't it be great?
Especially with you and me behind the wheels. You know, it's like, yes. All right, let's do this. You recently drove a concept vehicle. I don't know how much you can tell us about it. You're only going to have like 4 minutes anyway before we have to say goodbye, until next week, that is. Lexus J201 Overlanding Concept Vehicle, and you drove it in Montana. Tell us about it a little bit.
So this is a homage to one of the biggest trends that a lot of people are probably aware of already, which is overlanding, right? The idea that you don't want to just go off-roading for like an afternoon and come back to your civilized house at the end of the day. You want to go overlanding for like a week. You want to disappear and get off the grid and get out there where nothing's around except you and your trusty overlanding vehicle, your trusty dusty overlanding vehicle.
Right, whatever it may be.
And so this is a lifestyle movement that has gotten huge in the last 5 years. And so Lexus, being, you know, pretty wise with what they've already got in the product lineup, said, hey, we've already got something called an LX470, which is basically a Lexus version of a Land Cruiser.
Right.
That's already very capable. It could pretty much just become an overlanding vehicle right off the showroom floor if you wanted it to with its capabilities. But what if we made it even better? What if we made it a genuine overlanding type vehicle and did all the things that they want to do with them? So that's what they did. They took a one-off version of this car. And right now it's a concept, but we'll see what happens if there's no kind of reaction it gets. And they basically added all sorts of cool overlanding themed things, you know, bumpers and skid plates, front and rear, so that it can bash off rocks and not hurt itself.
Right.
Cool light bars, a snorkel, so it can go through water and the air comes in through the snorkel, so you don't drown the engine.
Right.
Really cool stuff. I think the coolest thing probably that you can't even see until you get into the car is you open those rear doors, rear hatch, and instead of having a third row seat, they've taken it down to a two row vehicle and used that space to create a big shelf that in theory is perfect for storing things on, up to and including the dog. They can carpet it. It's like, oh, well, you're overlanding. Of course, you bring your dog with you. He sits up there. And underneath that shelf are these drawers with all this extra storage. And then in the actual doors that open up are like a coffee maker and food storage and all these things that you would use to basically have tailgating overlanding style.
You know what's funny is you're describing what I did in the early 70s, kind of mid 70s, with the old Volkswagen Westphalia camper vans. They were so ahead of the game. They had a pop top camper, and to this day, I know Mercedes has got a little pop top thing going on with that, where the front half or the back half pops up. But did this thing have a deal on the top where you could sleep, you know, one of those fold out tent things?
It didn't. A great question, but it did have a full roof rack system with additional storage up there.
Right.
So
right.
These kind of like thin boxes that you could still put a bunch of stuff in.
Well,
they call it the Prinsu Design Roof Rack System. And then, of course, it had functional. These are just appearance things. This is not appearance only. Alan, they put on a front and rear 430 nitro gear lockers for the differentials, 430 gear ratio. So
well,
that's going to climb over anything.
You said it already. It's based on the Toyota Land Cruiser. And I'm curious, did they say if they were going to build this, or, you know, they went to a lot of energy to do this, and, you know, they brought journalists out. So this may be in their future. Is that what you're saying?
I hope so. I hope they do it. But last thing that is important to hear, supercharged the engine, 550 horsepower, 550 pound-feet of torque.
Oh my gosh.
So
it'll be
much more powerful and quicker.
Too. Yeah, it'll be a $100,000 to start. Carl Brower, again, it's a concept vehicle called the J201 Overlanding Concept Vehicle. Look it up. Is it going to be a story on this anywhere people can check it out?
I'll do something on Forbes for it probably in the next week here or so. And in the meantime, if you do the search, you'll be able to find the Lexus info and probably some other stories. It's really cool.
Right on. Carl Brower, you're a good man. We'll see you next week for another jaunt in something special. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next time right here on The Drive.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink Multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.